In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we see two examples of two kinds of faith in this story of the healing of the child of Jairus and also of the woman with an issue of blood. It begins, the gospel story begins with Jairus coming to him, which was rather amazing. He was a ruler of the synagogue. He would have normally sent a servant. So Jairus had some sense of propriety. So he came to beg the Lord to heal his daughter, who was dying. And then the story morphs into the woman with an issue of blood of 12 years, who saw Jesus as he was going to heal Jairus' daughter, who was probably at this time already dead. And she followed him, and she wanted healing from her malady, which was a grievous malady. It wasn't like a small thing. It was a big thing, because she was unclean according to Jewish law. She could not worship in the temple, in the synagogue. She was an outcast. And because of the prejudices of the day, she was considered to be a great sinner because of her bodily affliction, which everyone assumed was because of the wrath of God being upon her, the judgment of God being upon her. But she was a believing woman. And so she went to touch his garment, and of course was cleansed immediately. The gospel says that she had spent all of her living on physicians and couldn't be healed. But all she did was touch the hem of the garment of the great physician and she was healed. There is great meaning in this term, all of her living. Of course it means all of the money that she had, but it means more than that. If we spend all of our living on things that do not matter, then we remain ill. And that's what this is talking about. If we have the wrong priorities throughout life, we won't get any better. And so this woman, of course, was desiring to get better. She was using her money for a good purpose. But mystically, we can look at our life and think, how much of our living do we spend touching the garment of the God-man? And how much of our living, that is our time, our energies, our priorities, our desires, our attitudes, do we spend in the world? Any time spent in the world will not heal, ever. Nothing that we do that is worldly will heal us. Nothing. The only thing that heals is to touch the garment of the God-man Jesus Christ. And of course, we cannot touch his actual clothing now, but we can receive him in the Eucharist. We can pray to him with great fervor. We can fast. We can give alms. We can desire to change. And he will recognize this desire and help us. That's what we must do if we're going to touch his garment. Remember, I tell you over and over, perhaps too often for some of you, but it's very important that the Scriptures must be interpreted personally. So when you see that this woman spent all of her living, it must have something to do with you. You better find out what it is. Now, you don't have an issue of blood 12 years, so it must not be about doctors. It is about lifestyle choices. So if we spend all of our living on worldly things, we will have no healing. Pure and simple. And so, after this woman had touched the Lord, she was healed immediately, and of course he perceived it. He knew she was going to be touching him, and he could feel her touch her. But he said he perceived power go out of him. And so, the woman was discovered. He said, "Who touched me?" The disciples are incredulous. Peter says, there's a throng around you. There's a crowd around you. Everybody's bumping into each other. And you say, who touched me? It is possible to be in church and never touch Jesus. It's possible. It's possible to say your prayers and never touch the hem of the Lord's garment. Touching the Lord comes from faith, from great desire and humility. Now these things, such as prayer, fasting, attendance of the services, confession, receiving of the Eucharist, all these things are absolutely essential to be able to touch the Lord. But in and of themselves, without faith, they don't help us. Everything must be done with faith. That's why at the end of his encounter with the woman, he said, be of good comfort, thy faith had made thee whole, go in peace. So brothers and sisters, let's question ourselves. Do we approach the Lord with faith? With our living? Do we spend our living on approaching the Lord, the great physician? Or do we spend our living on whatever we do every day? And at the end of the day, perhaps we can't come up with one or two good things that we did, or important things that we did. It shouldn't be like that. Every day you must live with faith. Living with faith means knowing why you're here. Why you're alive. You're alive because God wants you to know Him intimately and personally. And you have a disease. We all have this disease. The passions, pride, things that blind us to the Lord. We all know. The Lord is present right now among us. Which one of us sees Him? Which one of us sees the angels? Which one of us prays even one word in one day with absolute sincerity and absolute understanding and love? We all have much to do to be able to be healed. So let us spend our living on the Lord, not on the world. And let's touch the Lord. Not through just rites and things that we do, and whether or not we read a label and see if it has a milk product in it. But let us beg the Lord to help us. Now, in order to beg the Lord to help you, you've got to know you need help. And as a pastor, I would say that that is a universal human condition, that we don't know how much help we really need. We underestimate our faults and overestimate our virtues, and we're often not even aware of our faults, or we find some reason to say that this fault or that fault is, well, it's just the way things have to be, it's because of circumstances, it's because of this person or that person, etc., etc. Look carefully at your life and you'll see that this is true. It's very difficult for a man to see his faults. It is, in fact, it is more of a miracle, according to the fathers, for a man to see his faults than to raise the dead. So, learn to seek out your faults. Can't get better unless you know about them. And to spend your living on touching the garment of the Lord, not on doing worldly things. This is what living by with faith means. Now the other kind of faith that was shown was weak faith. The faith of dry irons. He had some faith, absolutely. Because he had the good sense, the humility to pursue the Lord himself, not to send out some surrogate. That would have been probably a difficult thing for a person in his position, because he was kind of getting out with the common people, and it would be embarrassing. But he did it because he loved his daughter so much. Then he found out someone came as they were approaching his house, said, don't trouble the master, she's dead. But the Lord knew that she was not dead. Oh yes, she no longer breathed. She was a corpse, as we know corpses. But to the Lord, all are alive. That's what he meant when he said she sleeps. The Lord has such power over death that it is unimportant to him. He can change death from life to life anytime he wants, with just a word. And so they were laughing him to scorn because they knew he was dead, or she was dead, excuse me. And Jairus was shaken. His only daughter was dead. And so the Lord comforted him and said, "Fear not, believe only." Now, this shows an aspect of, a couple aspects of faith and belief. Number one is, the Lord will meet you where your faith is. But he's not going to stay there if you don't increase your faith. So Jairus was shaken and believed his daughter to be dead. And he said, "Don't fear, believe." Now he could have joined the rest of the crowd and said, "She's dead. Stop mocking me." And not proceeded with him to the house. And then she would have stayed dead. His faith was weak, but it was just strong enough that he would continue to follow the Lord. So the Lord met him where he's at. The woman had to push through a crowd and had to do all kinds of things to be able to get healed by the Lord. He didn't make it easy for her because she had the strength of faith to be able to do that. He didn't require that of Jairus. But he did require Jairus to respond. And that he did, because he followed. Probably not quite believing. Still with some hope in his heart. Something made him keep going. Reminds me of Thomas. Thomas said he wouldn't believe unless he saw the Lord with the holes in his hands and in his feet. And yet he stayed around the disciples and the apostles for all those 8 days waiting. Probably only half believing or probably unbelieving. But he stayed. So faith is not always all about believing everything perfectly. Faith is about forcing yourself to live in according to what you know is right. Faith is not lived out in our lives. It's not a pretty thing always. It's not perfect. But it is a step to perfection. Really, perfection occurs because of many, many, many imperfect steps. And so Jairus made his imperfect steps with the Lord and followed him. And of course, he brought them in to the house and raised his daughter. So brothers and sisters, we have two kinds of faith here. Weak faith that became stronger. And strong faith that the Lord lauded as being truly incredible. So whether you have weak faith or strong faith, God knows. But you must respond to the Lord. You must seek Him. Let's take especially this example of the woman. And let's spiritualize her, the comment that she made all of her living, or spent all of her living on her infirmity, to mean that we should spend all of our living on our infirmity, but spending it on the Lord. You spend it by giving of yourself to others, by fasting, by praying, by recognizing that this is not the reality of life. What you see here in the world, the things you feel and the things you do and the things people are and the things you acquire, all that is just smoke. What's true is acquiring the Lord. So may God help us to be like this woman, to have such great faith that we would have our infirmities healed. Amen.